In the night time when I lay down, you are faithful, Jesus, you are wonderful, indescribable, beautiful, glorious, majestic. When we lay down, Holy Spirit, you prompt us in our inner heart. Deep, deep inside, you're prompting us, saying, "Oh, children, I love you. My child, I love you. My child, I'm with you. My child, I'm in you. My child, I am so, so in love with you." We're listening, Father. We're listening. We hear you. Abba Shikari Disik. Jesus. Jesus, you are seated in heavenly places. You're seated at the right hand of our Father. Jesus, we love you. We adore you. We exalt you. We lift your name up high. We honor you. We value you. We bow our hearts and our knees to you. You are the magnificent obsession of our lives. You are everything. You are our reason for being. You are our sustenance. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the great and mighty one. You are the sustainable one. You are the great revivalist of the nations. You are heaven's gift sent to us. We are humbled in your presence, Jesus. We love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. We lift our voices to you. We declare to you, oh, that we are in love with you. We love you, O fiery one. We love you, O resurrected one. We love you. You are the bread of life. We love you. You are the great morning star. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name, O faithful one. Bless your name, rider of the true. Bless your name. Oh, bless your name. We honor you today. Shay, la baba. Just lift your heart before him and tell him what you feel and what you think about him. Shout out, share your love. As he stirs you, Holy Spirit, stir us in those places. Strengthen us in the inner man right now. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, our King. Thank you, our King. Thank you, our King. We bow to you. We worship you. The angels cry, holy, 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 day and night, night and day, crying holy around your throne, holy in honor and glory and dominion and power forever and ever and ever. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for healing people today. Thank you for moving in our midst today. Thank you for mending broken hearts and healing broken bodies. Thank you for strengthening spirits, encouraging our hearts, encouraging and helping us walk in the changing of our thinking and our minds. Thank you, Lord, that our minds and our hearts and our eyes would be fixed on you. Oh, we praise you. We praise you and worship you. Glorified one, high and lifted up, the exalted one, the King of glory. Hey, the King of glory. You are the King of glory. You are our our joy. You are our peace. You are righteousness. Wow. You are excellent. You are excellent and praiseworthy. We praise you. You are glorious. Yeah. Glorious. Wow. Yes, Lord. Wow. Whoa. Yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. You are the overcomer. Hey, we partner with you, our overcoming God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a mighty God. Amen. Amen. Are we so blessed? Are we blessed people? Wow. Just give him a shout and praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, our matchless Savior and Redeemer, the lover of our souls. Wow. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we bless you. Bless you. Wow. I don't know about you, but I want more. How many of us want more of him? Thank you, Lord. Release your heart of love over us, Lord. More and more and more. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. What a glorious day. Are we blessed people, happy and thankful to be alive and to live in this great and mighty land where we can express our worship freely? What a blessing. Can we just thank God for that? That freedom rings. Freedom reigns in our hearts, in this place, in this nation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Before we release the children to go get more and more and more, I just want to hear from someone. I don't know who is there because I wasn't. Maybe Justin. You here? Justin's here. Justin's here. I know that there was Edge Gathering last night, and I heard it was powerful. Michael, come on up here. You can share. All I know is in the spirit, I heard it was amazing and saw a few pictures on Facebook, so that's all I know.
Oh, wow. There was new things going on. There's new things going on right now. And last night was like powerful. The words that were spoken out, and just to see the hungry hearts and everyone come together and want more of that, it was so powerful. Like, I've just seen, like, last night when I was just thinking about it, I've just seen, like, the stronghold of the enemy just coming down, like, not standing a chance. Even with its fortified walls and its gates and everything, there's nothing. When truth and life and identity is spoken out and released, and people grab onto, God's people grab onto us, his children grab onto that there's nothing that can prevent the enemy from advancing, the enemy from staying in our lives, in this land, in this country. So I'm just so excited about what God's doing just through revival, just through renewing of hearts here and to the many nations that we get a chance to touch and the lives that we get to influence. So, yeah, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it, and I hope everyone catches a glimpse of that and runs after that, because it's something new is happening for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, kind of to go off on what Justin said, it was just, like, so refreshing. It was, like, so different as opposed to the previous edges we had, for the fact that it was just so new and we had new people stepping up, and we had like Andrew Calhoun speaking up with something that was like mind-blowing and prophetic, and we had Jamie, and people in the crowd were just like gathering in, it was just like that interaction between the speakers and the people that were sitting. It was just like, oh, yes. Yes. So, I mean, it was just the new, not the old wineskin, I guess. But yeah, just a new revelation that was just like really amazing. So.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You probably would have about 15, 20, 30 or more people who would want to share because they're like, wow, when God's moving, when there's an increase, isn't that just so thrilling? Because the Lord wants us to live that way and feel and partner with increases as he's increasing. And to be able to carry that then and release that to the people around. And so I'm just grateful and thankful. Thank you for all those who have been imparting in the Edge over so many years from the very beginning. Everything that has been said and done, I believe, has been very good and worthwhile. So this is just an upgrade. This is a transition into more. And it's not to say anything wasn't good before, but to thank everyone who's part of it. And still, God's just increasing on every front. So we had a great meeting last week for some of us to be able to express some thoughts and ideas and just take that to the Lord and just see an increase in the heart of the desire to pray more into what God wants to see happen, and to see people just jump in and partner with what God really would like to see more and more is just really invigorating. And just lastly, real quickly, I asked Ina to share, and then we can all be released. So if you want to just share something that we just met yesterday and had a great time of hanging out, and she said something really profound of how God had touched her and changed her. I said, that just, oh, it just touched my heart, because she was so desirous to share what the Lord was doing in her. So I asked her to briefly share, so we can get you all to Kingdom Land, briefly share some of the things that God's showing her.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's a lot of things, but mainly the one I shared yesterday specifically was about Legends. And I guess I've been leading Legends for, wow, how long? 3.5 years? A long time. But in the beginning when I was appointed, I'm like, I'm not really, that's not my area. Old people, they scare me, especially nursing home. It's like, I don't know what to do with them. But anyway, it took 3.5 years, maybe more. But just 3 times when I'm like, I'm done, I'm quitting. But I know Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat have been telling me, just persevere, persevere. And this last year, I think the last 6 months has been a shift in my heart. I remember coming home, I'm like, I was complaining to God, I don't want Legend. I talk to the people, 5-10 minutes, they fall asleep. And 60% of the people don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I need someone who's more engaged. I was kind of like, come on, Lord, give me edge, give me this. You know, I have bright mind, I want to share my mind. But anyway, but the Lord said, I don't want your mind to expand, I want your heart to expand. So that has been the journey. And this, I think this last 6 months, my heart has been turned upside down. I see Jesus in these people. My heart is softened. It's like, wow, I'm like 10,000 times more blessed than they are. It's just amazing. So, but one thing I learned again this year is that if you have issue with performance, go to Legends. If you have issue with your hardened heart, with, you know, too much of your mind, you know, your, like what Heidi Baker was saying, your head is too big, your heart is so too small, go to Legend. I mean, you literally have to be on your knee and you minister to these people, but Jesus is there and Jesus touched you, and Jesus is the one himself that rewards and enlarges your heart. So,
and just briefly, to give credit to the Lord working through Ina, when she had these moments of, I don't think I want to do this anymore, she had every opportunity, ability, and freedom to say, I really would like to take a break. And so as we prayed with her and encouraged her, there was no, well, you have to do this, and this is what you're called to, and all of that. So the Lord grabbed her heart, and we encouraged her and said, seek the Lord and see what he is speaking to you about this place and this time. Is this what he is speaking in terms of what you feel that you are wanting from him? And then we'll talk, whatever you feel. And if you want to hand that baton over to somebody else, that's really fine. And every time as she went to the Lord, she was invigorated by something he was telling her. And she still didn't know what the future was going to be.
And she said, no, I think I do want to stay. I said, okay, well, let us know. And so these, there were several of these, but I just appreciated in Ina the willingness to go to the Lord and talk with him and see what he would say to her specifically. And I believe for us, as we go through struggles in our own heart, or maybe our businesses or family or marriages or whatever it would be, just go really talk to the Holy Spirit and say, what do you say? What is your voice speaking to me? This is how I'm feeling. Well, what are you really saying right now? And then many times he'll give us that encouragement and strengthen us in the inner man to be able to take that next step, even when we don't see the outcome. So isn't that a good testimony that God's really moving? And I said, so are you, what are you feeling right now? What's your passion? What is your heart desire? I started talking about that yesterday. And she says, I'm just excited to see what God's doing in Legends. This is fun. And I'm even taking my child, and she's having fun, you know, Nadia. So whatever fun looks like, you know, in terms of going lower and experiencing God's goodness is just part of many things that he has for us. And whatever it would be, whether it's a place of serving in the body or, again, something you're waiting for that you haven't seen yet, whatever it is, we just want to stand against discouragement but also get our inspiration and our encouragement from each other and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Kingdom Kids, go to Kingdom Land. Amen. Yeah, what a great morning for worship. Yeah. Oh, today is a glorious day. So excited about what the Lord's doing and seeing his faithfulness just stir inside of hearts. Singing and worshiping Jesus, the reason we're here to exalt the glorious one, is just so invigorating, isn't it? Isn't it just a place that you just want to continue to go and say, Lord, I want more. I want this to continue forever and ever and ever and ever. And he says, yeah, just like the angels, they cry out, holy, 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 day and night, night and day. So I believe the Lord has something up his sleeve for us in the world, all of us. And he's all about reviving us and then spreading the effects of that revival. And so I wanted to mention a few things about that today. I have a lot of scriptures to go through. Just believe that God is going to open our hearts and touch us even more deeply, because he sees the love for Jesus in this place. And that blesses me. So I thank you, Lord, that you open us up, Father, and that we just want to hear more through this time, Father, as we're just listening with our hearts just attuned to what you would breathe into us. Father, as we go through the scriptures, your book, Lord, that you would be absolutely penetrating the deepest places of our hearts. What would you say about your nature, your character, and the great love that you have for us, and how you'd like to see that manifested in our lives, in our families, and around the world? That's why we do what we do, Lord. That's why we love, to be able to love more and love very well in the midst of that. So thank you, Lord, for that today, in Jesus' name. Oh, I've been reading a lot in Hebrews. Love the book of Hebrews, absolutely. You want to get wrecked over and over, just keep reading in Hebrews. And I'm just going to probably hear a lot about that. It's just been part of something in my heart for some time here. And I want to look at Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 and then build on that, because the Lord wants to release over us just an increasing awareness of his desire for us to have that connection with him in the spirit that he designs for us, it to grow. He wants it to grow. He wants it to increase. He wants it to just fan the flame in every part of our life so that we're not at all missing something that he would have, which is the greatness of his love. So I'm excited about that. I do have, before we do turn to Hebrews, we can just put up Philippians 1, 9, and 10. There's Amplified in Message. If we can put that up, I'm going to kind of bounce around, and these guys have the verses ready. And if you can kind of track with me and write down these verses and your thoughts as the Lord just releases more. Let's take a look at some of the things as we get ready to go into Hebrews and see what God is saying to us in this season. We are in a very important season, a very pivotal season. a season where the Lord is saying, I'm going to do something new for you. And as you continue to worship me in spirit and in truth, I'm going to reveal more of my nature and character so that you can track with me in these very exciting times and potentially turbulent times as well. So he wants us to be cocooned, protected, just surrounded by him so that we're quite aware and quite wise in going through these next this next season. So in Philippians 1, 9 and 10, in the message, maybe you, could you put, if you don't mind, the Amplified first? Thanks, guys. And this I pray, as Paul was saying, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. I made a note here when I was looking at the word knowledge that in the first part where it says in the third line, development in knowledge and all keen insight. It's interesting because I wrote down the depth of insight will be found within the knowledge. In other words, when the knowledge of God is released, there will be an increase in insight of what the Lord's saying and doing right in front of us. Not just what we're feeling and thinking, and it makes sense, but beyond that, what he's all about. So we want to contend for that as we say, Lord, I'm asking for the spirit of knowledge to be released to me. But all of these aspects of the Holy Spirit, spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and others, spirit of power, spirit of might, are released in us, over us, through us, as love is received and given away. There's this exchange and this directional exchange from the Lord. And he wants us, I believe, to see that as we're acquiring more knowledge, this is going to be heart knowledge, and some of it coming through our brains and our thinking to be able to grab what he's saying about love. But this is going to come through in our hearts in such a way that we're going to have greater insight into what's going on the street. So you know how we like to say, just saying? Well, I'm just saying. And we have these thoughts, that's fine, we all have thoughts. But I believe that the Lord is wanting us in this season to be very aware that through his definition of growing love, that these thoughts that all of us have, because we're thinking people, all of these thoughts will be filtered through the grid of love. And it's going to create greater insight into what he's saying. So when we say just saying, that we're saying just what he's saying. And it's just somehow they link, they come together. So that's one thought. And then it says, fullest development in knowledge and keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. And what that means to me as I was reading this and asking the Holy Spirit is what do you really mean by that? So if someone says something or is indicating something, what do you really mean by that? What does God really want to see happen as a result? Would there be a change that's necessary in me or in someone else or in something? What, Lord, are you saying if I want to increase in the knowledge, the spirit of knowledge? I want to increase in that knowledge of you. What do you really mean? Not just what am I experiencing at that moment? And is this a good move? Is this not a so good a move in the way that we operate? You know, the Lord is so protective of us. So, so protective. He wants us to be okay on every front. He's so protective of us that he sent Jesus. He said, those are my kids and they don't know it. They need to know me. And I'm going to send you Jesus so that you can make that way between them and myself. You can make that way so that they really can just be corralled in my heart and my love, and they're not walking around frenzied or confused or distressed or feeling anything other than free and easy and blessed. That's your nature, my son. Why don't you go on down from heaven and let them know that? You know, that's our Jesus. Like, wow, I just want to hear more about you, Jesus. How did you do this? What made you tick when you came?
What caused you to go to the cross? What caused you to love me so much? What caused you to go into the garden in Gethsemane and sweat drops of blood? What caused that? What was going on? What caused you to persevere and say, but for the joy set before me, I endured the cross? What caused you to take everything upon yourself? What caused you? Were you just this slave to your father going, yes, sir, boss? What was it? Was there so much love inside of you that was received, that connection between you and father? Was there so much in there that it rose up in you as a mighty volcano and an inferno that you couldn't help but do anything else? Is that it? I want to understand you. I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to share in the fellowship of your sufferings. That's Philippians 3:10. Paul had a measure of that, a great measure. He's one of our heroes, isn't he? Because he walked as a sinful person and then changed in the presence of Jesus. But the outcome of him being transformed and then continuing to grow was this revelation of the cross, revelation of the greatness and the majesty of Jesus that just kept going and going and going and growing and growing and growing. So he'd say, oh, I just want to know you. I want to know what makes you tick. Why? How? I want to know the depths of that. It's love, obviously, because what else could it be? But I want to know that love inside of me so it just spills out of me wherever I am. That's the honor we give to our King. And that's the honor then that spills out to people as a result of that hook of love in our heart. And then we can be really pushed. Heidi Baker uses the word compelled a lot. There's a trailer for a new film that's coming out about her life, she and Rollins' lives. And it's called Compelled by Love. And I was just thinking about it. Some of you may have seen the trailer. It's been on Facebook. But the word compel is just, it's almost a feeling of force. But it's not. It's still a choice. Love is a choice. But it's so strong that it's a push in you that you can't do anything else. You can't have a response other than, look how amazing you are. Show me what that death really means to me. Show me what that resurrection really means for me and to me. What caused you to do that and raise? I need to know you. I need to know that. And then I am willing to do anything, go anywhere. I just won't sing about it. I will respond. I will respond to the word. So when we're looking at scriptures here, I just exhort you to just say, God, that's me. Stir me up. Wake me up. Shake me up. I want to know. I need you. I am desperate without you. I can do nothing, nothing, nothing without you. With you in my midst, with you inside of me, we're a majority. Oh, that's a good word. And so all keen insight, Lord, what do you say about this? That your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. God wants us to discern. He wants us to really know. He wants us to be able to weigh what's happening in the spirit so that the spirit realm becomes more real to us and natural, if you will, than any realm. So we can walk and feel and know. And if we're feeling tight or anxious or icky or whatever the word would be, I don't know, you know, that we're saying, Lord, what's really going on here? And then step back and say, wait a minute, because of your love, how am I to respond? I only want to respond because of love and out of love. And I need to know what that looks like. So I need to receive that. That's my quest. I need to consider you above all else. And that's the joy of our hearts, isn't it? And that's the journey that we're on. That's the trek that we're on. So that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral difference. If we're going to pray and cry out, Lord, I want your best, be it for a mate in the future or a job or, you know, whatever it would be, or the way we do kingdom or business, the Lord says, I want to do that, but my ways are higher than your ways. And I'm saying to you, dear children, that this is your place to contend. So I believe as overcomers and world changers here, that God is saying, we need to stay together in this track of love as we are more and more and more, and saying, what are you saying, Lord, beyond what makes sense?
And making sense is okay. But what do you say beyond making sense so that we don't miss the best? We want the best. And he exhorts us to contend for that. The highest and the best that we would recognize and distinguish the moral differences. So that we would be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless. Let's say those words, untainted and pure and unerring and blameless. That's what he wants for us. But we can't do that in and of ourselves. Only through the power of the Spirit inside can that even happen. It can't happen. It only happened that way for Jesus because he went low and he bowed down low. He came into this world as a lowly one. He came into this world to bow down and say, I am nothing without you, Father, even though I'm divinely hooked with you. And I turn and put that over here and I believe that because of this amazing love relationship that we have together, that I will just absolutely pour out myself and go lower and lower. So when we sing, I will go where you go, say what you say, do what you say. When we sing that song, we understand that the only way we can is because of the one who's come before us, because of the great I am, who absolutely decided to relate to us and come in the form of a human, a form of a man, and take on that lowly place. And so if he went low and he got lower before the Father, that's our call. And that doesn't mean that we're people to be stomped and thrown out. But yet Jesus was stomped and thrown out. So I try to understand what that looks like. But when we stay connected with the Father, we'll be able to understand more about suffering and about standing in the midst of suffering and knowing what suffering is intended by the Lord to produce. And understanding that so that we can absolutely receive the promises of God. But we need to understand his nature to be able to receive and respond to the promises of God. I did write something down. I was reading something by Mike Bickle the other day. It was really good. And he said, quote, not all the promises in the Bible are a guarantee of increased blessing. They are invitations to receive them based on our responses. Let me read it again. It just was touching to me. Not all the promises in the Bible are a guarantee of increased blessing. They are invitations to receive them based on our responses. Isn't that beautiful? Let's think about that as we continue on. So the Lord says that he's encouraging us through Paul's words to be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless. So that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing anyone else to stumble. So we have a responsibility to prepare ourselves, continue to prepare ourselves for that great and mighty day that Jesus returns as the pure, spotless bride in the making. And also, as that's happening because of love, to the degree that we have said, Jesus, this is what I mean, this is what I plan for, this is what I want, then our lives will become a sweet aroma to the ones around us, and we won't then be used by the enemy to cause someone to stumble in any way. You know, and that's really a big deal to God because he knows that the nature of the beast against us is to cause us to stumble and then cause us to cause others to stumble somehow. And that's his job. And that's what the enemy came to do with Jesus when he was in the desert for 40 days. He says, I don't like this guy. He got baptized. He lowered himself. Oh my gosh. He went to John the Baptist and he actually got baptized as a human, baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit. And he hears, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And now he's going for more communion with the Father in the desert. This is ridiculous. I tried to stop his birth. I tried to stop his parents. I tried to stop through kings. I tried to stop everything. And now I couldn't win. And now he's 30 years old. And now look at this. This is really annoying me. So now I've got to do something even more. I've got to raise the bar. The glory's increasing. I've got to go after him. He's already on my target list. But boy, I'm telling you what. Whatever it takes, he's being snuffed out. Even though he knows the end of the book. He doesn't know the end of the book. He doesn't know the true one inside of our hearts. How? So when he went into the desert, when Jesus went into the desert and he said, "Hey, Papa, I'm going lower to know you more." He's filled up as he's experiencing every wicked thing you can imagine. We can't fully understand or imagine, but he's experiencing every trial, every temptation. And God gave us a pattern and he said, look at that. Don't. Oh good, Jesus didn't, so I can't or I won't. But Jesus says, I don't want you to be tricked. I don't want you to be missing something because I want you to be protected. That's why I'm sending my son. Because he loves me so much and I love you so much. And when you see him, you see me. And it's nothing but love and grace and mercy. Love and grace and mercy. Anything else contrary to that is not him. And the Lord says, oh, no, don't go that way. Remember the end of the book. Remember, I'm coming again. Remember, you're making yourself ready. Remember what's going on. I am the one with the fiery eyes. I am the one with the sword in my right hand. I am the one who is the desire of all nations. I am the one who will carry you through. I am the ultimate revivalist. I am the ultimate forerunner. Your eyes need to be right up here on me so you stay connected as Jesus did to the Father in the desert. And he was able to be the overcoming one. But as the glory rose in the desert, you can imagine this tug of war. It's just deep. And it's like, Lord, I need to understand that more. I need to study, show myself approved, not because I'm a good little soldier, because I'm a lover and I'm in love with you and I want to love and I want to feel that love. I want to know that love. How did you overcome? How did you do it? What caused you to overcome? What caused you to recognize in the midst of the weariness, perhaps, of through the battle? What caused you to rise up and never stumble? The attempt at weariness, the struggle, okay? What caused you to not lose your anointing? What caused you to come out in the power of the Holy Ghost when you went in the fullness of the Spirit? You went in there, but you came out in the power. What happened in the midst of that? I need to know that for my life, because I know that as I get this more and more and more, if you want to say it that way, inside, it's like, wow, that's the encountering I want to have with you. I want to just spend time going, show me more of you. Oh, take me, show me. I want to understand and learn and receive. And it's not mental alone. It's spiritual. It's heart. It's going to change me and my love will abound. Way beyond what I can see. Isn't that glorious? That's our Jesus. That's why we get excited when we sing to him. We sing about him. We are worshiping him because we're designed for that. And I believe that's how he was sustained in the garden or in the desert. Really believe that. Okay. Not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. Oh, I can't do that myself. Can you? I just can't. Thank the Lord that he lives inside of us. You and the Holy Spirit inside are a majority. And when we talk to him, he talks back. When we're quiet, when we settle our hearts, and we're really still, and we stop, we get off the treadmill, the gerbil mill, whatever you want to call it, and we stop and we talk, we don't need more information. We need him. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And Jesus had him, the Father. Not more information. Isn't that good? Can we show the other one, please, now? This is in the Message. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. I want to love well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent.
I like this. Sincere and intelligent. Our excellent God is no dope. Not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life. Circumspect and exemplary. Wow. A life Jesus will be proud of. Bountiful in fruits from the soul. Making Jesus Christ attractive to all. Getting everyone involved in the glory and the praise of God. There's no room for anything else other than that. But don't we know that the Lord is going to give us opportunities to receive this deeper and deeper in our hearts? That's his nature. He says, more for you. Wow, I'm showing you this right now. So come on. Aren't I beautiful and wonderful? Yes. Eyes above, eyes above, eyes above, always. Another verse that the Lord gave me, if you could please put it up, is Jeremiah. Which one do I want? Yeah, Jeremiah 32, 39, and 40. This is, NASB's good. Jeremiah is speaking here about the oneness and the way to stand against sin as the Lord was bringing back people, bringing back his chosen ones. As we understand that there is what's called the spirit of the fear of the Lord, as we understand that in Scripture, that may be new to some, but most probably not, as we contend and say, Lord, I want to receive, meaning, Holy Spirit, you live in me, and I invite you to just take me over and possess me and overwhelm me every day of my life, that I would increase in the wisdom and knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So in this verse, it says, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me. That's reverent fear. Reverently fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts. I will do it. Did you like that? I mean, I will do it. The Lord says, I will do it. With the worship this morning and the emphasis on Jesus, our resurrected one, the spirit of the fear of the Lord was rising and strengthening. I know for those of us, in those of us who desire more, really desire more of him and understanding how it works, how that laying ourselves before him saying, no matter what, I'm worshiping you. No matter what, you are worthy. And I am contending. This is how it works. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them and do them good. Because I'm a good God. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts so they will not turn away from me. So if the Lord says, we don't want you to stumble, guys, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, there's a way. It's not just an order from heaven, like, okay, I won't, boss. He says there's a way in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, this reverential awe that increases where we hear something, see something in our own sphere for ourselves, by ourselves, where we're walking down the street. We absolutely cannot even do anything but praise the Lord. And speak wonderfully about the Lord and others. We can't. It's just not possible. It's like, well, Lord, I don't understand then how to operate. I will teach you. We will not turn away. This helps us be strong. This helps us gain in that inner strength. We need inner strength to be able to, when we agree with the nature of God and how he does kingdom, and we say, yes, I believe it. Yes, I am contending for that. That's my declaration. That's my decree. That's who I am because that's who you are. He will back us up. He will back us up from heaven. Isn't that so good? I love him so much. Can we see the other version, please? In Jeremiah 32, 39, and 40. Did I give you another one? I only gave you that one. Okay, that's a good one. That's fine. Then let me ask you to put Psalm 86:11.
86:11. This is an amplified, just dealing with the fear of the Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk and live in your truth. Direct and unite my heart solely, reverently to fear and honor your name. So we're asking God to do something. We are asking. The Lord says, we have not because we ask not. So we're asking. The Lord says, ask and I will give you the nations. Ask me to do these things. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord will unite my heart. It will unite my heart solely and reverently to fear and honor your name. So we're asking God for that. Teach me your way, O Lord, Holy Spirit, that I may walk and live in your truth. It's just a reminder. It's every day. So when we open our Bibles and we're reading every day, no matter what our world is, no matter how busy we are, God says, don't let this go. Take that time with me. Watch what I will do. You will feel my peace. You will feel my presence. You will feel my closeness. Now take it one step further. Don't just be content with the fact that there's a, ha, now talk to me and I will talk back. Speak to me, I will respond. I'm speaking to you. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because when you hear what I'm saying, it will always be loving and kind. Always. But if it filters through something that hurts or is not been completely touched by my love, it may not feel so kind, but it is because I am. That's God. It is because I am. That's God. And that's the good news. So we contend for these spiritual aspects of him that will help us be able to say, I'm feeling this way, but what are you really saying to me about me? And then everything spills out of that. And that's the kind of communion that we can have with the Holy Spirit. It's just so cool. You know, I have to be honest with you. I grew up, when I became a Christian, actually, after college, and I started learning things in the Word and such, and I learned about the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and yay, and Holy Spirit, you produce that in me. One thing that I didn't recognize until later is that when he lives in me, guess what's in there? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's already there. It's like, come on. I thought that had to be produced by being a good Christian. No. If he lives in there, that's in there. He's just trying to release through us. Come on. And increase us. Because he says, ah, oh, there is no lack. You've got everything inside of me. Everything is there. I'm so good. You mean your love is in there? Yeah. So what does it mean to receive your love? Well, we want you to recognize, I want you to recognize more. Now, he can come upon us too, Holy Spirit. This is not a whole message about Holy Spirit, but I'm just saying, that the Holy Spirit, when he lives on the inside of us, why not? Are we saying we only got a half a dose? Come on. So self-control, patience, all those things are in there. But many times we don't respond to the very Spirit of God inside of us because we're not aware, taking all the full counsel of the Word. We're not increasing necessarily in that discernment, in that understanding, in that awareness of what's happening in the spiritual realm. Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? It's too much of our mind sometimes and not enough of our heart, you know? So God is giving every one of us an opportunity to just say, ah, wow. You are amazing. I'm coming before you. I just love that about the Lord. Just so gentle, graceful. I think 2 Corinthians 5, let's use that verse here. 2 Corinthians Amplified. 2 Corinthians 5:16. This is something the Lord was showing me recently that really was touching my heart because there's that evangelist in me, you know, that's really, come on, let's take the nations, we can do this. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? That's in my heart. And I was reading this and remembering a couple of things. 2 Corinthians 5:11, therefore, being conscious of fearing the Lord with respect and reverence, we seek to win people over to persuade them Now, that's not manipulation. That's love persuasion. And the greatest hook that the enemy would have, be able to have in our hearts, is to convince us that love is not really moving, and to try to get a strong or a foothold inside of us, in our minds, and then eventually in our hearts, to be able to resist the very love that Jesus would be screaming and saying, I love you, I love you. Let me show you, let me demonstrate that to you. Come on, come on. It's the job of the enemy to harden us any way that he can. But I love this word. It says, we seek to win people over, to persuade them. This is not selling something in an office. This is not a media campaign or anything like that. You know, this is a persuasion of spirit that is the direct opposition, the direct opposite of being hooked by something that is trying to pull or entice. Enticement is pulling away from love. And persuasion is influencing toward the fire of God's love and the fire of the fear of the Lord. It's like, wow, Lord, I want to check myself only because you're telling me what's good. Isn't this cool? But what sort of persons we are is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you know me better than I know me. And I hope that it is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood also by your consciences, your inborn discernment. And so here's Paul crying out, saying, I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to think what I think. Because I've been wrecked and the only thing that I can preach is Jesus. And he actually says, not with persuasive words. And he uses that word in a different place in Scripture with the meaning of enticement or manipulation. He says, no, no, no. But I boast in Jesus. When we are talking about persuasion here, it is persuading others to see the love and receive the love. That's our job. But it becomes naturally supernatural. It becomes what we are. We can't stop. We see somebody hurting in a mall. It's like, oh my gosh, they're hurting. I probably have an answer for them, or he does. I need to go. It's not somebody taking a note of that and saying, good job, now you can be on the testimony page at Frontline. You know, it's going to be something that just comes out of you, and it's learning more of how Jesus operated. That's what he did. That's what got him to the cross. That's what raised him from the dead. That kind of love. And we want that to increase in us. So this gives us the standards for us to see how much God loves us, that he doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us out there to figure it out. What kind of father is that? So he's teaching us, he's releasing to us. So much fun. So we have inborn discernment because we're born again. That means the Holy Spirit lives inside. But if we say, well, I can hear you, Holy Spirit, and this is what I feel and I think, and it must be you. If we're moving away from other areas in the Scripture that he talks about, many times we can have a confusing voice. And we might even hear another voice, even when we're praying. We don't want that. That's what Satan tried to do to Jesus in the desert. He tried to be another voice. It's like, oh, I mean, there could be another voice? Of course. Where's the battle if there's no voice? We just would do what we want, right? So we're in a battle, and we really want to hear his voice. We want to cultivate that love like he's saying more and more. Okay, I just love that verse about persuasion. excuse me. Isaiah 66, 2b. Did I give you that? I didn't. Well, I'll read it. But to this one I look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. And I was thinking about that verse, and I thought, Lord, if you're looking to those who display traits, characteristics, aspects of their life, who are humble, contrite of spirit, and tremble at your word, that means that you desire for me to be humble, contrite, and that I'm trembling at every word that you give me, because I've got the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and that because I'm so consumed with love, that I so want to follow, And I so want to be your man, your woman, your child. I want to do that. Because you're looking, and that's how Jesus was. His Father was always looking. Because Jesus lived that way and determined to relate to us that way. He's our model. Bill Johnson calls it perfect theology. Others do too. Jesus. Well, let's look at his life. You know, he was the extreme, radical, long-suffering, evangelistic revivalist who always laid himself down. And I want to be more like him. I don't know about you. I do know about you. I believe everybody in here does. So I'm believing that. So it's worth it for us to be compelled and to absolutely lay ourselves down. Let me ask you to put Ephesians 3, 14 through 16 up, if you would. This verse really touches me, and may this be something that can stir you every day. Read it over, maybe, every day. It could encourage you every day. You know, some of you are athletes. Some of you ran a half marathon, right, yesterday, and, you know, fell over afterward. No, you know, you were totally ready to do it again, but it was pretty strong and intense, and I love that about this body. I love it about Frontline. It's like, wow, people in here going after it and running and getting their bodies in shape more and more. That is admirable. I love that. Yay. Go God. But as you do that, as you're training and as you're doing more and more of that, don't you feel as though you can increase and do even more? Do you feel that someone's slapping you going, go on, do that next 10? Well, maybe it's inside. I don't know. But isn't it something that starts to rise going, wow, this feels pretty good. I was designed for this. And you start doing more and thinking, how in the world could I? A month ago, I couldn't have done that. Well, this is similar. This verse, just think about that when you look at this verse. For this reason, this is Paul saying, I bow my knee. This is because of Ephesians 1 and 2. Study, eat that and read that every day. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you. So Paul is saying, this is my prayer for you. And I'm going to say, this is our prayer, Pastor Bill and me, for you, for us individually, for us as a married couple, for us as those who are asked by God to steward whatever wildness is going on here and whatever else he has. And so this is our prayer for us and that and you individually, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that you and I together would contend, Lord, daily, strengthen me with your power. Strengthen me with power through your Spirit inside, in my inner man. That's my mind. Strengthen me in my mind. That's my will. Huh. And that's my emotions. That's my soul. That's the part of me that's really connecting with Jesus, where I'm feeling that closeness with him. But through the Spirit inside of me, that is happening. And Lord, I am going to contend for that every day. I'm going to get up in the morning, not as a business thing that I have to do every day. You know how you set things in your computer and every day you check your mail or whatever. I'm not talking about that, but I am saying as a part of self-discipline, control, it's already existing on the inside. Why don't we contend together, all of us, to be strengthened in the inner man, individually? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's be strengthened. Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen my inner man. Strengthen my mind. Strengthen my soul. Strengthen my will, my emotions. They've already been nailed to the cross anyway, but I need your strength. I need your strength. When I got saved, Lord God, my spirit's perfect. This area is also nailed to the cross, but this is the area that the enemy attacked Jesus in. And so he's attacking me. And I need your strength because I can't do it without you. I need your strength. And I believe that as we contend for the spirit of the fear of the Lord, I can give you tons and tons of verses about that. Ask me if you're interested. Maybe another message for today. I'm not going to do that. Maybe go on a hunt and ask God for that, what it really looks like. More, for that to increase. I want more. I believe things will change. He doesn't bring us into a place where we feel like a truck has hit us. He doesn't bring us into a place where we feel confused. There's no Jesus in that. But he wants us to be strengthened to be able to run with endurance and run the race. He really does. Is there another version there? For this reason, I bow my knees before... Is that the one? Did I give you AMP or no? Did I? Okay. We'll show it. Thank you. It's okay. Doing a great job back there, Carly. No problem. But it's just a really cool verse. So I want you to get it in the Amplified as well. There we go. Okay, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, so we need to know what the reason is, right? It's the goodness of God, the greatness of God and the greatness of his plan for us. Okay, so for this reason, wow, I bow my knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that the Father from whom all fatherhood takes its tithe, title, and derives its name. May he grant you, Lord, I want that, Lord, I want that, Lord, I want that. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Strengthened and reinforced. Can you feel it right now as we're contending for that? Can you feel an increase right now? That's the power of the Word of God. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So right now, Lord, we are contending. We're believing that you're granting us out of the rich treasure of your glory, that we are strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man, by you, Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit himself, who indwells me, who indwells your innermost being and personality. I need your strength. I need your encouragement. I need that Holy Spirit. If we didn't need that, it wouldn't be in here. So if this is something God is saying, make this numero uno priority for yourself, because everything will spill out of that. Every change will come in our life, okay, out of this. And if we want to increase, that's what we want. I believe that Jesus was doing this. Strengthen me, Father. Strengthen me. I went to the garden for strength. Angels came, but they were sent by Father. Strengthen me. I know it's coming. Strengthen me in the midst. Touch my mind. I want to think clearly. Touch my heart. I want to feel well. Touch my emotions. I don't want something to compound. I don't want anything but what you're really saying and doing. Isn't that beautiful? What a good God we serve. That just makes me really happy. Wow. I put these few thoughts down. I'm happy. I like these. Now, to close, we're actually going to go to Hebrews. Because I'm going to encourage you to start reading Hebrews more and more. From this vantage point, we can't do a whole lot today because we're in America and we're in church here. But we can do some things. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so good? Thank you for increasing us in the Word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's put Hebrews 1 up. Can we do that? I might just... Oh. I think it was the whole chapter. Yeah. But that's okay. We'll take that verse. But if you can put the whole, just copy and paste, then we can read through it and close on that if we have time. While she's doing that, while Carly's doing that, let me tell you what I did this morning. I've got it. This is crazy. I'm sitting in my office, sitting in my chair, and whenever I'm preaching on a Sunday, I spend a lot of time in there anyway. But before I get in the car to come over here, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit about a bunch of things, and I so only want him to be seen and shown through me. It's my desire, and that's my prayer anyway. And so I said, Holy Spirit, help. That's what I said. Help me. Just I sat in my chair. I said, please, help me. Speak to me right now. I feel that you've been releasing some things to share to the beloved here today, if that's what you have. I said, but if there's something else, just show me right now, would you please? And I opened my eyes, and immediately I just turned, and I looked at my bookshelf, and my eyes, it was clear it was Holy Spirit to me. And he pointed me to this book that I've never opened in my life. Paid $1 for it. is sitting on my shelf, but my eyes were fixed. Did you ever do that where you know God is just taking, he's saying, here, honey, go in there, look at that. Did you ever do that before where you just know it's God? It's like, why am I looking at this? I wasn't thinking about this before. So that's what it was. I went over and I pulled it out. Get this, I'm sitting in my chair and I opened it, just went and opened it. Let me read this to you. It's, the name of it is called Flashpoints of Revival. And it was just this orange book, and I pulled it out. And I went, oh, I've not read that one yet. I've read a lot of books on revival, but I'm not, I don't even know where I got it. Probably a discount bin or something. So, anywho, just let me read this. You'll be blessed. Well, I look down, I open it like this. My eyes immediately go to this. I kid you not. Another young man, Mel Tari, I am so serious, witnessed the visitation of God in Indonesia and later became part of Team 42. He reported on this revival in two widely read books. Healings and evangelism increased dramatically. Specific directions from the Lord led the teams into powerful ministry with thousands becoming Christians. They saw many healings and miracles, such as water being turned into non-alcoholic wine for communion. They saw some instantaneous healings, deliverance from witchcraft, demonic powers, and raising people from the dead. The teams were often guided supernaturally through provision of light at night on jungle trails, angelic guides, and protection. The multiplication of meager supplies of food in pastors' homes when a team ate together during famines and conversions of witch doctors who saw power encounters when the team's prayers banished demons, rendering the witch doctors powerless. The teams learned to listen to the Lord and obey him. His leadings came in many biblical ways. One, God spoke audibly, as with Samuel or Saul of Tarsus. Two, many had visions, as did Mary or Cornelius. Three, there were inspired dreams, such as Jacob, Joseph, and Paul. Four, prophecies, as in Israel and the early church, occurred. Five, the still small voice of the Spirit led many, as with Elijah or Paul's missionary team. Six, the Lord often spoke through specific Bible verses. Seven, circumstances proved to be God incidences, not just coincidences. Eight, often when leadings were checked with the group or the church, the Lord gave confirmations and unity, as with Paul and Barnabas at Antioch. The Reformed Church Presbytery in Timor recorded 80,000 conversions in the first year. This is a little island. Of the revival there, half of those being former communists, they noted that some 15,000 people had been permanently healed in that year. After 3 years, the number of converts had grown to over 200,000. In those 3 years, over 200 evangelistic teams were formed. On another island where there had been very few Christians, 20,000 became believers in the first 3 years of the revival. So often in times of great tribulation, political upheaval, and bloodshed, the Spirit of the Lord moves powerfully and the church grows rapidly, as happens in many countries today. And the one sentence I'd like to read here, a couple of sentences more, just so you get it, because I feel that God wanted us to hear it for some reason, because it literally fell in my lap here. It started when a Bible school in East Java experienced revival with deep repentance, confession, renunciation of occult practices, burnings of fetishes and amulets, and a new humility and unity among staff and students. The Lord led individual students and teams in powerful evangelism in many islands. That night, as at Pentecost, people heard the sound of a tornado wind and flame on the church building, which prompted police to set off the fire alarm to summon volunteer firefighters. Crowds kept coming to put out the fire, but the church was not burning. Many were converted that night, and many were filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues. Some who did not know English spoke in English. By midnight, teams of lay people had been organized to begin spreading the gospel the next day. When I read that, I felt that the Lord was telling us something, and I was immediately reminded of, I believe it was a hearing or a vision. There was a time a couple years ago, Lawrence heard sirens, if I'm not mistaken, right? By the front door. And you, am I correct in this? Was a car alarm? Okay. And was there something about sirens that others, has anyone heard sirens? Sorry? Ina, where have you heard sirens? Your house twice? Have you heard any other sirens? Did you take it as something that was a car alarm going off, Lawrence, as something prophetic or just a car alarm going off? I don't remember. China, okay. You're on your way to China. I'm repeating for the tape. So you thought a car alarm went off at 5 in the morning as you were here praying to be on your way to go to China, okay?
I didn't even realize.
Did you feel it was spiritual?
No, I thought there was actually, like, I opened my eyes and I was looking for somebody to stop the car alarm.
I'm trying to make, is this something significant to share? Is something spiritual for you? Can you come over here because we're doing this across the church, so... I just remember it was something spiritual, and I want it to be accurate. So help me out here with whatever you felt was from the Lord. Okay.
So it was about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. We were in a circle praying in the foyer, and I heard a car alarm going off. I didn't realize it was spiritual at the time because I opened my eyes. I was looking at everybody, waiting for somebody to stop what I heard happening in the parking lot. So after the prayer, I went out to see what car it was that was going off. And there was nothing there. So I started asking, like, every person that was there, whose alarm was... Because I was getting frustrated because it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and I just thought, the neighbors are going to get upset here. Something's happening. Somebody turn that stupid alarm off. So finally, after I went to every single person and asked, was that your alarm? Did somebody turn it off? Nobody had a car alarm. There was nothing. So that's when it dawned on me, like, 20 minutes later... that it was something happening in the spirit. So we talked about it. That was the year that Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat went to China. So we prayed through that on the plane and kind of throughout the trip, just kind of recognizing the Lord's kind of desire to bring an awakening and just kind of have us all spiritually alert to what's happening. Because I totally missed it in that moment. Thought it was all, like, I was really getting frustrated. And then I was like, oh, it's actually something in the spirit. So,
I believe the Lord, as we close here, we're going to read quickly through Hebrews 1, maybe even as we have some worship music playing in the back. Worship team, you can stay where you are and cooperate here for yourselves to be increased, okay? We can put some music on. But I believe that the Lord wants to resurrect promises and resurrect prophetic words that may not necessarily be on the forefront or the front burner for some of us, for perhaps even what he's doing here and also what he may be doing in our individual lives, which affects what he's doing here and vice versa. So I believe that that's something that I would challenge you lovingly. Let the Lord stir your hearts on many different levels today from the words that have been released and also for your own personal life and how that ties in with what God is saying here. Because we're on the precipice of something really, we believe, really great. And just as Jesus came out in the power of the Holy Spirit from a very difficult time, he was able to say, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we don't want to allow the enemy to steal from us, do we? We want the Lord to be able to fully release everything and to be able to, that we would be able to cooperate with how he wants to bring that to pass and not miss any part of it. And so I challenge you for that for yourself and to stir up the prophetic challenges and words that have been given to you. And then if we could just put up Hebrews 1, the message. Let's put it in the NASB if we could. Is it up there in NASB? Or? Okay. I am just going to read this over you. If you'd like to just ingest it, or you can keep your eyes on it, I don't care. I'm just going to read it out loud, and we're going to stop there, and then just put some music on as I read it, if you could, behind this. And you can follow along if you want, and you're free to go after that. You're free to go anytime, but just want to be able to read this over you and just release the word of the Lord in Hebrews 1 over all of us right now. So, Father, in Hebrews 1, you say, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in those days, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness, and you've hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Father, as we close today, we thank you, Lord, that we choose to yield to you. We choose, Lord God, to completely release ourselves to you. Release ourselves on every front to you, Lord, contending for all that you say that you are, for all contending in our hearts for what you want to do inside of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we would ask you, what can you do through my life? What can you do through me, Lord, as I give myself fresh and new to you, as I present myself to you, as I offer myself to you, the great and mighty one? Our eyes are on you, and I thank you, Lord, that as I contend for you, revival will be my portion, and I will be as a carrier of this great and mighty glory, as you are the great revivalist to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the inner stirring right now. Thank you for the increase right now. Thank you, Lord, that my willingness to partner with you and to let my dying just increase for the sake of the Lamb's reward, that I will be raised up in new places in my heart, in my mind, in my will, in my emotions. Thank you, Lord, that you're perfecting me. You're increasing me right now. I trust you with my life. And I thank you, Lord, as I contend for the spirit of the fear of the Lord and to know you that way, that you will back me up and you will never leave me alone. Thank you, Lord, that I will take steps that you will lead me to take. Wow. To be who of you called me to be, to not run from what you already know and what you already see, that you would see me as a contender, that you would see me as a follower, that you would see me as a lover, because I know you do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're free to leave whenever you want to. I'm just going to play this song, and God bless you. Have a good week. Just be encouraged and increased today. The Lord is on our side. Amen.
All that we may bear.